The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana and sponsored by Miller Lite, University of Phoenix, and Walgreens. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome in to another edition of the Bears Coaches Show as we get you set for the Dallas Cowboys a week from tonight, a Monday night matchup as the Bears come home from Minnesota with a tough loss, dropping the overall record to 6-6. We'll break it down and look ahead of that Cowboys game, get you update on injuries and the latest on the Bears. We'll also be joined by assistant defensive line coach Michael Sinclair later in the program. But good evening to Mark Trestman.
How Jeff, good evening.
Tough. That's the only way to describe it. Where does that rank in terms of unusual endings in your career?
It was a tough one. I was really disappointed for our players. It was two teams giving great effort out there, as you would expect the National Football League in the start of December. And, you know, as I told our guys after the game, we did everything right during the week. We're prepared. We were focused. We came out with energy. But we didn't play well enough to win.
And in what areas, after you reviewed the tape?
Well, first of all, I thought our defense got off to a fast start. You know, we had three sacks early. We had three possessions. We couldn't do anything with it. We couldn't finish our drives, you know, offensively. And that was really disappointing because our defense had really stepped up early. And I thought Mel Tucker all week and the staff did a great job of getting the guys ready. And, you know, we didn't back them up offensively. The guys didn't back them up on the offensive side of the ball. We had a penalty on a kickoff, which set us back and gave us a long field. We didn't like that part of it. And then, you know, the game rolled along and we were able to get ourselves back into it, get a lead, get a 20-10 lead going in the fourth quarter, and we didn't finish.
Yeah, that's the point. And you and I talked about this yesterday. I'm sure you felt it too on the sidelines, or maybe you don't. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it felt from watching that game that it was there to really take control. Your 10-point lead is never enough. It felt like the Bears were ready to take control. What do you think happened?
Well, I think that you know, overall, we just didn't get it done. We didn't finish drives offensively. We had some good numbers, but at the end of the day, as I said, number one, we didn't start fast. Number two, we didn't convert on third down, and number three, we didn't convert in short yardage. All our special situations offensively, and we had some very good numbers defensively, regarding third down and you know, holding the quarterback to a 75% rating and holding him in the red zone. But at the end of the day, we were 0 for 3 in terms of them having fourth down conversions. You know, that's number one. We gave them the long field, and they got two touchdowns on long drives, and we weren't able to close them down, and then we weren't able to finish on special teams.
Fourth and 11, 8-yard line, to me, that's a huge point in the game.
Yeah, it certainly was. As you know, I tell the guys today, no one play made a difference in that game. We had so many different ways to win it on all three phases, and it was very clear that, you know, in this one game where, you know, when we've had the lead, when we've been in the fourth quarter, we've played well enough to win a lot of games this year. A lot of the games that we've won have been won that way, and we just couldn't you know, make the play when the play was needed in any phase of our football.
And the other unusual aspect might be that close to 500 yards of offense, almost 1,000 yards of offense the last 2 weeks, but yet 21 and 20 points. That usually doesn't add up. Usually adds up to a lot more.
No, it doesn't, and we look back at it and we know why. We didn't a week ago in St. Louis, we were 3 for 4 in the red zone. We didn't finish a 14-play drive to score. That was huge. And this week, the same thing. We had a 3rd-and-1 to start the second series of the game, or the first series of the game, and we couldn't convert. It slowed us down, and we had the opportunity to do that. You know, those were the things that hurt us. We had a couple of third downs early in the first half. We didn't convert. We were moving the football, but then we get stuck on third down, and you know, we made great progress the last 4 weeks. We went from about 22nd and third down to about 11 or 12 in the league. We moved right up with, you know, three of our divisional partners. We're all really categorized within a tenth of a percentage point up in third down. So we moved up in that direction. We got better in red zone last week. We didn't finish it. And today we just, or yesterday, we just didn't get it done, you know, early on in the game. We got some explosive plays. For the most part, we took care of the football. You know, we didn't have a lot of penalties. We had some unusual penalties in that game, but not a lot of penalties. But in every phase of our football, There was great effort, but at the end of the day, the numbers don't matter. What counts is the score at the end of the game. We didn't get it done.
Short yardage. It is starting to be concerning to you.
We know the reasons. We think we can fix it. We've got work to do to do that. We got a young line. We got a line working together. I know that sounds like an old story, but it's true. I can't put it any other way. We've got, we're taking a turn here or there, and we're not getting it done. Overall, we've got to be able to convert on third and one. We can't always throw the ball on third and one. We got to be able to move it and push the pile. And it's a shame because number one, Matt Forte had one of his best days ever in terms of just running the football. He ran beautifully. The blocking, some of the blocking was just outstanding.
You're talking about Matt's blocking.
About Matt's running first of all, in terms of ability to run the football. I mean, we knocked out some really good runs, and then. You know, we're just talking about Matt. I mean, he set the tone protection-wise. He awesome. Had three great shots on perimeter rushers and really set the tone for the physicality of, you know, our protection and our football team. And as I said, a lot happened in all three phases that at the wrong time we didn't get it done.
Is there a key to short yardage in terms of the run game that and with a young offensive line, I would guess that there is the slowest part of the development process in terms of the running game, whatever level, but in particular when you're talking about inside.
Things do happen fast. The backers are close to the line of scrimmage. Guys got to know when to double team, and they got to know when to come off to a second level player who's hitting a gap. We didn't do it right. We didn't do it right last week on fourth down, and we didn't do it right this week. And, that starts with us. We've got to do a better job of making sure that we get this done in these situations.
Yeah, you were asked at least a dozen questions, by my count, on the decision to go for a field goal in overtime on second down. You explained it pretty clearly even after the game last night. But overall, looking at it, the explanation was more based on location of the ball. You are going to go for it, it sounds to me, no matter what, once you got into the 30-yard line, but middle of the field was really the key thing here.
Yeah, we were going to run the ball on second down, you know. And so much can happen on second down. They were loading the front. We just watched Adrian Peterson just a half an hour early get caught for a tackle for a loss. We saw a team go backwards 19 yards and miss a field goal to win the game. There were some flags thrown during the course of the game that were unique, in my opinion. And the game was a little bit different than any game I've been around. And, you know, we got the best kicker in the game with sitting there in the middle. He's clearly within his range. And as I said to the team today and I said to the media today, you know, Robbie didn't lose this game. We lost this game a lot of different ways. He just missed a field goal at the wrong time.
He was 12 for 12 in the Metrodome. I'm going to take out the 66-yard.
Right.
For 12 in his career. So everything added up in terms of that part.
Yeah, you make these decisions. I totally accept accountability. You know that if it doesn't work, that there's going to be a lot of questions as to why. I tried to frame it to the best I could within all the different issues that come up with the course of the game and managing the game. I feel confident that we made the right decision. It just didn't turn out right.
Do you replay that stuff in your head?
No doubt. I know what I was asked today, you know, do you look back and second guess yourself? And I think second guessing is probably the wrong term. You know, I ask myself the question each and every decision is, did I make the right decision in the best interest of the team? Did I take the right issues into consideration? And you're just, you know, this is where I stand. And I realize that when it doesn't work, I got to stand forward and carry that on my shoulders. And I'm willing to do that. I'm not happy about the results, certainly. And for our players more than myself, you know, I see them each and every day work as hard as they do and put the time in and their preparation in. And when we don't get it done, that accountability's got to start with me.
Snap is back to McCown with shoulder shrug. Hit as he throws down the field. Cut Jeffrey 45. Jeffrey 30. Jeffrey 20. A dive of the 10. He's out of it to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown Bears. 80 yards. McCown to Jeffrey.
And Alshon Jeffrey, the Bears play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. It's 6:43 here with Bears head coach Mark Trestman. I cannot stop talking about Alshon Jeffrey and what a job he is doing this season. Those were two great touchdowns. That showed a different side of Alshon. The breakaway, he gets away from the tackles. Boom, he's gone 80 yards.
Yeah, this is everything we've seen since the start of the OTAs. And I, when we bring him up, I always have to go back to that because it was only a matter of time, hopefully, that he would get what he deserved. Uh, he the work, the time, the effort he's put in. I always bring Brandon into the equation because I know how much Brandon did for him to get him, you know, trained up to be an NFL player, you know, a true NFL player, and how to eat right and how to work out and how to train and how to work. So I think that, you know, that's a big part of it. But this is what we've seen in practice. This is what we've seen, these moments, and you know, it's starting to come out. It's good for him. It couldn't happen to a harder working professional and a better guy.
And I heard a little bit of Jay Cutler's radio show today, and it was asked too about Alshon, but he made it clear he shouldn't be a surprise anymore. He's a playmaker.
Right, right. We've had these discussions before throughout the year, and now they become, you know, more week to week, which is a good thing.
Is there something about his game, though, that you didn't know you were getting?
No, we see it all in practice. I mean, the game that we see, we saw yesterday, we see in practice in our competitive periods. He practices as hard as you see him play. He runs after catch as hard as you saw him run. And he practices like it's a game, which is something we try to do each and every day. And we hope it carries over, the competition side of it carries over, and it appears that it has.
Monday night, Dallas, that was a game that, at least publicly, Jay Cutler had circled as a possibility he would love to, you know, be able to get back for. Earlier today, you mentioned week to week, and the process, though, seems to be getting closer to a return potentially. When is the whole other issue?
Yeah, I think they'll, you know, we're hopeful there'll be a return. When, we don't know. It's, as we said, it's week to week. He was at the doctor today. I haven't checked with the trainers, and he'll begin to, you know, move forward in that direction this week. How far, I'm not quite sure at this time.
And same with Lance, correct?
Same with Lance.
Lance Briggs. I read a tweet today from Rich Gannon, your former player in Oakland, and he was talking about Josh McCown. Mm-hmm. And what he loves about what Josh McCown has done is that he's earned it because of the hard work he's put in over a career, and he's getting an opportunity to show what that hard work has turned into. Would you say that's a fair representation of where he's
No doubt about it. I mean, Josh is the first one to tell you, you know, he's very fortunate to be playing with the other 10 guys in the huddle, and he's surrounded by good players. But Rich has a great perspective of that. You know, he went to Oakland. He was 32 years old, maybe 33 when he got there, and he really rejuvenated his career when Gruden brought him in. So I think Rich has a real sense for that and a real perspective, and I think what he says is true.
And 36 was his big year.
Yeah,
when he's really started to play extremely well. They get to the Super Bowl. In terms of this particular game and the games that have occurred over the course of the season, I saw a stat about the Dallas Cowboys. I think in the last 2 years, they are number one in the league in number of games decided by 7 points or less. All your games, with a rare exception, have been tight. We anticipate that's what's going to be in the National Football League. So I don't get the sense that there's a doom. Jeremiah Ratliff today said there's no gloom and doom. It's football. You got a month to go, a lot of work to be done, but are there good wins and bad losses? I mean, how do you look at things with this?
You know, that's a tough one. This was certainly a tough loss because it was just a unique environment yesterday. A lot of different things happened. We have a lot of positives going into it. Number one is we got an extra day off because we played a lot of plays, particularly on defense. They played over 80 plays, so the extra day's rest will be helpful. Number two is we get to play on Monday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. That's a positive, and that's the only thing we can control right now are the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, the NFL really doesn't have any kind of order until December is over.
Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't. I mean, it's really chaos right now. We're part of the chaos. We can only control what we do against the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. We'll know a little bit more about the standings, certainly, you know, on Sunday night. But that's all we can control, and you know the guys love to play football, and they're going to go out and they'll be at their best on Monday night and be ready to go. And I think Jeremiah's right, and he's got a good perspective. He's new. He's been around, and he's a very smart man. So I think his perspective is right. We've got an extra day to get over this. I think it's good that's happened that way. But I know our guys, they're very resilient. They'll be back on Thursday ready to go.
All right, another segment with Coach Mark Trestman coming up here in a second on the Bears Coaches Show as we come to you live from the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall.
Cal needs the ball. He gets back to throw. Pocket stays clean. Lofts a deep, tight spiral down the left side, up in the air. Catch, Alshon Jeffrey. Touchdown, Bears!
I chuckle at that one because I didn't do it justice. How do you describe that? Let's let Mark Trestman describe it here at 6:53.
Yeah, I think first it starts with, Josh being able to get rid of the ball. I mean, our offensive line did a heck of a job in the protection. You know, and then Josh is able to get the ball out there and throw it deep and keep it in play so Elshon has a chance to make the play. And then I look at Elshon's reception there a lot like I look at Adrian Peterson's run ability. It's relentless. It's just, it's fearless. It's athletic and it's artistic. And I think that's what we saw. We saw all of that in one leap. Elshon was not going to be denied that football. And it didn't. I don't even think the television copy did it justice, because from the field, you would say that he was probably over the backboard to go up and get, not over the rim, but over. That's what it looked like. That's what it looked like from the sideline. It was one of the more amazing plays that I've seen in my career.
Right, and for those of you who are listening to the show and didn't see it in slow motion and everything. The best way I can describe it, just the body control, but to leap and grab that ball with his long arms and to squeeze it and never try and then suck it in to his belly until he's all the way to the ground, making sure he maintained control. Yeah. He kept that thing over the head of the defender all the way, but to have the strength, the hands, his hands must be super strong.
Yeah, they are. You know, we've seen Brandon make some of those plays where we actually stop the video and the angles and the flexibility and things like that. But, that was one of the great, great catches.
And Elshon is our Player of the Week, brought to you by Tempur-Pedic. We're back here at the Chicago Bears Network radio studios at Hallis Hall. Our segment here with Mark Trestman. Each game is its own story. I think people who follow the league know that. There's no way to say each scenario that is made, each decision made, is going to be consistent week to week. And so a lot of times coaches are asked to be put into a box philosophically. You can't do that, right? On all decisions. Down in distance, quarters of the game, overtime. It's not simple to do that.
No, and it starts early in the week. You know, it starts with, me talking to Joe DeCamillis about, special teams and ways to gain possessions. It starts with talking to Mel about the quarterback of the week. I mean, is it Drew Brees or is it someone else? It's Tony Romo. What is he doing? How's he playing? How's their offense playing? And looking at the tape, and so you get this feel for a team. Certainly, that's where it starts, and then you anticipate how the game's going to go. Of course, it never goes the way you anticipate it's going to go, and then you try to make judgments based on your preparation, weather conditions at times, whether you're in a dome or so forth. We were going to take the ball yesterday. We wanted to have the first possession yesterday for a lot of different reasons. That was a game management decision. Normally, we defer. But we decided we wanted to take one possession away from Patterson, as much as anything. But we didn't get that. But we would have. And then the game takes on its own nature, and things are happening, and there's an ebb and flow to things, and how three sides of the ball are playing. And then, at that moment in time, all that information's got to be dissected, and then you go ahead and make a decision that you feel is the best interest of the team. And most of it is based on the situation, and some of it's just based on gut.
Defense, first three possessions, blitz on third down, they get home.
Yeah, we pressured 40 times yesterday in 80 plays. Half the game we had pressures on, and we were able to get some things done. Not enough. They were able to complete some passes that were very, very close to being sacks. I mean, Peppers came close on the one touchdown. He was a half a step away, and he was running fast. And you got to give Castle credit. He made a tremendous throw in the corner of the end zone. So pressures were a big part of it, but we didn't get it done.
We haven't talked about this, and I don't think it came up today. Craig Stelz played like a linebacker yesterday, a fourth linebacker.
Well, yeah, he did, and it would have been the same with Major. We'd have to be in the box, and he was in the box, and he did make a lot of very physical tackles. Did a very good job for us.
And tell us about Jeremiah Ratliff in the short time that you saw him on tape.
He wanted to play more. He was chirping to play more in a positive way on the sideline. He wanted to get in a rhythm, and he was very regimented for the game. We knew he was going to 20 to no more than 25, and that's what we stayed with. And the results are good. The results are good enough that we think he'll be able to go a lot more next week, and that'll be good for us. He was a factor in there.
All right, probably just starting the process. We wrap things up. Quick look at the Cowboys.
Yeah, we've just basically got into them. I've looked a little bit of their. their defense, just getting started. So not far enough along to really say too much. I'll get back to you during the week.
But we do know this. They throw it more than they run it, and Romo is pretty accurate.
Yeah, he is. He's got very similar skill set to Jay. He's extremely athletic. He can move around. He gets the ball out of his hand fast. He's got a good arm. We've seen him, and he's a fourth quarter player. You know, it'll be another game that, you know, we anticipate. We want to be in the fourth quarter, have a chance to win, and if we can do that, we'll be playing well throughout the game.
All right, Mark. Good luck this week.
Yep,
you preparation.
Bet.
That's Mark Trestman.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman. And this hour featuring assistant coach Michael Sinclair. Brought to you by McDonald's of Chicagoland in Northwest Indiana. And sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Jodiak.
He's a professional. It's a tough situation. That's what kickers are paid to do, is to make kicks. They're not going to make them all. Unfortunately, he didn't make that one. But we know the next one he's going to make. He's done it his whole career. Yeah, he's doing okay.
That is Patrick Manley earlier today here at Halasaw on a Robbie Gould. How he's doing after the Bears come home with 6-6 record after the overtime loss to Minnesota. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. Awaiting the arrival of assistant coach Michael Sinclair, but pinch hitting is the head coach, Mark Trestman. He's sticking around for a couple of minutes until Michael gets here. I liked hearing what Patrick had to say, and I didn't get a chance to ask you, but did you talk to Robbie as well today at all and see how he's doing? Because whatever happens, it is football, but when the birth of your kid comes on that morning, it's emotional no matter how you slice it. And he was near tears after the game.
I did talk with him today. The baby had no concern over the missed field goal. No doubt about it. And I did spend some time with Robbie. I wanted to, you know, talk to him about the game and about ways I could help him the next time around to make sure that we create an environment here that make sure that we were doing everything we could for him during the course of the game to make sure he was able to kick the ball properly.
And I don't know what that would be. I mean, only you could answer that, but I don't know what that could be.
No, I mean, I just wanted to check in with him and tell him that, I talked to the team about it. I let the team know that no one kick is going to win or lose a game. And, Robbie feels very, very much accountable. He's one of the best kickers to ever kick in the game of football. And as Pat said, the next time he'll make it.
Couple of business items here. Watch Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios at Halas Hall every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. Here at 7:06 with Bears head coach Mark Trestman. As we break down what happened in Minnesota and look ahead to the Dallas Cowboys, we touched on Tony Romo, and you've admired quarterbacks your whole life, let alone in your coaching career. And as a veteran quarterback, and the storm that goes on around you, and especially in an environment like Dallas. Mm-hmm. It's really no different than here. Those right. are two tough places to mm-hmm. play quarterback, mm-hmm. don't you think?
They are, and I think he's handled himself beautifully. I think he's a special guy. He's got the ability to make plays, move on his feet, make all the throws, accurate, fourth quarter player. You know, he's at his best in the fourth quarter, making things happen. He's a joy to watch, and he's a difficult guy to defend.
And given that the system is similar probably to what the Bears, and I haven't had a chance to look at it myself, and you said just a little bit of interest, is there any advantage or disadvantage against that?
You know, I don't think so. Bill Callahan's kind of taken over the coordinating part of it and the play calling part of it. And, you know, I know Bill firsthand from Oakland. He is an exceptional coach on multiple levels. He's a detailist, a tremendous line coach, but has, as an ex-quarterback that he is, has a great feel for the passing game. Romo's in good hands. They're 7-5. They're feeling good about themselves, certainly going into next week. And we'll have our work cut out for us. It'll be a great challenge. And I know our guys are going to be up for it. It's Monday night, and, you know, we've been good primetime players. We did it in Green Bay. We did it in Pittsburgh. And we did it here with the Giants. And the guys like that. It comes at a good time for us.
Like certain guys, they just love the bright lights. You know, and certain guys on this team have had a lot of experience at it, so they do love the bright lights. And by the way, you know, as you must know, Callahan's a local product
from the
Chicago
That's
area.
Right.
So always, and you've had the unique schedule of running into a lot of former people that you've run into over the course of your career. It's been that kind of year.
It's been fun, but it hasn't.
It doesn't mean much because it's all about the the game.
You just don't get a chance to really absorb it or appreciate it enough because you're so locked into just getting your guys prepared and getting ready to play the game when you get into town.
Enjoy a free Reds Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season. Brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Kasim Green with the interception. So enjoy that on Tuesday as the Bears get ready to meet the Dallas Cowboys.
We're not going to sit here and make any excuses at all. I mean, there's a good football team, and they won. Fast Squad just beat us. So it's nothing to do now but just look at the things that we need to work on, run fits, and better tackling and get better.
That is Jeremiah Ratliff earlier today here at Hallis Hall as the brand new Bear got his first snaps in a Bear uniform on Sunday in Minnesota. Welcome back into the program. Pleased to be joined by Bears assistant coach Michael Sinclair, a great defensive lineman himself in his playing career. Welcome to Chicago and welcome to the program. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
You know what Jeremiah had to say, and it's always fun to get a veteran player who, in this case, played his entire career in one city and now is dropped in midseason trying to reclaim himself, so to speak. It can't be simple just dropping into a locker room like that.
Well, it can't be, but since, you know, most locker rooms are the same. You know, defensive linemen, I mean, we're like a fraternity. Wherever we go, I mean, it's kind of, you know, you think alike, you know, you're hard-nosed, you got a mean streak about you. So he's coming from the Dallas system, which is where Ron Marinelli is, into this system. So it's basically the same system up front.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, when you hit upon, you know, you got to have an attitude, that's what you're referring to, he's got it. When he walks around getting ready for the game, we just touched on it with Coach Trestman. It was an intense, and not like it's unique, but you don't know the guy, but he's a man now. That's a man right there, Jeremiah Ratliff, getting ready. What'd you think of his performance in those 20 snaps? And I'm sure once he got a taste of it, you couldn't keep him off the field.
You know, here's a guy who hadn't played football in a year.
Yeah.
So he's coming back. He's getting his first taste. I tell you, pregame warm up. The guy was on fire. You know, you put him out there, and he gave us some quality snaps, too. You know, the deal was to say, okay, he hadn't played in a year. We want to get him acclimated, but, we want to do it at a pace that's safe for Jeremiah. So here he is. He gets 10 snaps. I could hear him through the headsets, you know, telling Mayo, hey, I need some more. I need some more. I need some more work. And that's the kind of competitor he is. Very competitive. He's a very good sound, you know, he's a technician out there. So anytime, you know, you get a competitor, they want more.
Well, you know, in Dallas, he took on a lot of double teams and went to 4 Pro Bowlers for it, but also collapsed the pocket with his sacks. And yesterday took on a double team, and I think it led to Julius Peppers getting one of his sacks.
Yeah, you definitely knew when he was in there. He was digging out his gap. He was pushing guys around. You know, he got one good, really good pressure on the quarterback himself. And the deal about it is, you know, the week goes on, he gets more practice. You know, Monday Night Football against his former team.
Oh, yeah. Enough said, right?
Enough said. You know, spray him down. He'll be hot.
Yes, he will. I'm sure he's going to keep a low profile this week, let those juices simmer a little
bit. Right.
What's it been like? Because, again, you know, you had a great career yourself, and you come here and you play, you're helping to coach a player like Julius Peppers at this point in his life. What's it been like? And his performance yesterday was outstanding.
For me, it's been a pleasure, really, with these guys. You know, you come here, you know, you meet Pep, and you say, you know what, one of the most humble guys that you can meet. You know, he's had a lot of success through his career. You know, he's done some great things, you know, achieved some great accolades. And here he is. He comes to work like it's his first year. Very humble, hardworking guy. You know, he's not a, hey, look what all I've done. I need a break today. You know, now us coaches, we do give him a break because he's an older guy now. But he's a guy that you want to have on your team. He makes he's good for your locker room. He makes the players around him better. I see it myself, so I'm not just talking radio just because he's Julius Pepper. I mean, you see these things for yourself, and you're like, wow.
How have you looked at the way, you know, because there have been plenty of criticism about Julius this year.
Right.
Not knowing every aspect of his responsibilities in this particular scheme from game to game and week to week, right?
From from week to week. You know, you look at it and you're like, there's so much room to get better. You know, he's in his 12th season, if I'm not mistaken. He's been a legit pro player. And you can see, you know, you try to stay consistent to get more flashes of that. You know, he is what he had, 2.5 sacks. I mean, he was just flying around the field. Because I think when you don't have a good game, you take it upon yourself as a pro to say, you know what, I was embarrassed. You know, I can't wait till next game, you know, come around so I can get this taste out of my mouth, nasty taste out of my mouth. So he had an excellent game to me. I mean, he was all around. I mean, he was tackles for losses, batting down passes, sacks. I mean, you know, it was like, wow, this is the pep that you know, we were accustomed to.
They bring four and drop seven as Potter goes to throw. He's hit and dropped again. Julius Peppers sacks him inside the Vikings 15. Pep with his second sack. That's three series, three sacks for the Bears defensive line.
All on third down, too, and all blitzes, if I'm not mistaken, on those first three series. So Mark Trestman telling us earlier tonight on 80 of the snaps, 40 pressure. So that was clearly the plan yesterday. Michael Sinclair, who's joining us here for a couple of more minutes on the Bears Coaches Show. Lot came home early, and that was good to see.
Well, we wanted to start fast. You know, we're on the road, hostile environment, divisional opponent. The whole thing was throughout the week was, hey, let's start fast. Let's get on these guys fast and stay on them.
Must drive a defense nuts on fourth down. You had them at the 8, fourth and 11. Boom, can't finish that one. Those hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. You know, it will always come down to toughness and details. You know, I mean, we're playing with some young guys, but at the same time, I mean, if you look around the NFL, there's a lot of people playing with young guys. You know, so that can't be our excuse. Our excuse is, hey, it's the next guy up, next man mentality. Let's get the details down and let's play with some toughness.
And, you know, we talked about this at some points already. I mean, if you put them on a card just to know who they are. A lot of people wouldn't know some of these defensive linemen. I mean, you guys have had to pull them up and pull them and get them ready to go. You ran 9 guys out there on the defensive line yesterday, 9 different players. Has it been a challenge to get these guys ready to roll each week? That's part of being a coach, but
it's part of it comes along with the job being a coach. But at the same time, I mean, it's a challenge, but it's one that you welcome. You know, yeah, we rolled a lot of guys out. You know, the preparation of, you know, let's get out and get some work before practice start. Let's stay after practice. You know, let's get some film study in. So once, you know, the more you do that, you know, you're building a more cohesive group together with those guys. Because I tell you what, when you're in foxhole and things are going, you know, crazy out there, you know, you're the last thing you want is a guy to go astray. So I thought, you know, we stuck together because we always say, you know, it's we win together, we lose together. But I don't care about anything. As long as we're together, we'll be fine.
In your career, when the occasion arose where you couldn't stop a team's running game, how demoralizing is it to a defense? And it's obviously been a concern here in the recent, you know, in the last few weeks with all the new bodies on the team.
Well, it definitely tests a defense character, you know, because to run, that's personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always took it as a challenge. You know, my playing in Seattle when teams would try to do that, we're like, they're testing our character. They're testing us individually, say, what are you made of? And to rise up to the challenge and you know, just play good, sound football, knock the run out, because we always say, hey, you have to earn the right to rush the passer. You got to stop the run and earn a right to rush, you know, the quarterback.
And he definitely did. This man with 73.5 sacks and 114 starts in his NFL career worked himself up. You know, not unlike Jeremiah Ratliff, a 7th-round pick. You were a 6th-round pick out of Eastern New Mexico. Yes. So you made yourself into a player. It was fun watching you play and rush the quarterback as well.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
I appreciate that, guys. Thank you for having me.
We got to let you go. Earlier tonight with head coach Mark Trestman, the topic, Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, this is everything we've seen since the start of the OTAs. And when we bring him up, I always have to go back to that because it was only a matter of time hopefully that he would get what he deserved. The work, the time, the effort he's put in. I always bring Brandon into the equation because I know how much Brandon did for him to get him, you know, trained up to be an NFL player, you know, a true NFL player, and how to eat right and how to work out and how to train and how to work. So I think that, you know, that's a big part of it. But this is what we've seen in practice. This is what we've seen, these moments. And, you know, it's starting to come out. It's good for him. It couldn't happen to a harder working professional and a better guy.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of Jay Cutler's radio show today, and it was asked, too, about Alshon, but he made it clear it shouldn't be a surprise anymore. He's a playmaker.
Right, right. We've had these discussions before throughout the year, and now they become, you know, more week to week, which is a good thing.
Is there something about his game, though, that you didn't know you were getting?
No, we see it all in practice. I mean, the game that we see, we saw yesterday, we see in practice in our competitive periods. He practices as hard as you see him play. He runs after catch as hard as you saw him run. And he practices like it's a game, which is something we try to do each and every day. And we hope it carries over, the competition side of it carries over. And it appears that it has.
Monday night, Dallas, that was a game that, at least publicly, Jay Cutler had circled as a possibility he would love to, you know, be able to get back for. Earlier today, you mentioned week to week. And the process, though, seems to be getting closer to a return potentially. When is the whole other issue?
Yeah, I think we're hopeful there'll be a return. When, we don't know. As we said, it's week to week. He was at the doctor today. I haven't checked with the trainers. And he'll begin to, you know, move forward in that direction this week. How far, I'm not quite sure at this time.
And same with Lance, correct?
Same with Lance.
Lance Briggs. I read a tweet today from Rich Gannon, your former player in Oakland, and he was talking about Josh McCown. Mm-hmm. And what he loves about what Josh McCown has done is that he's earned it because of the hard work he's put in over a career, and he's getting an opportunity to show what that hard work has turned into. Would you say that's a fair representation of where he's...
No doubt about it. I mean, Josh is the first one to tell you, you know, he's very fortunate to be playing with the other 10 guys in the huddle, and he's surrounded by good players. But Rich has a great perspective of that. You know, he went to Oakland. He was 32 years old, maybe 33 when he got there, and he really rejuvenated his career when Gruden brought him in. So I think Rich has a real sense for that and a real perspective, and I think what he says is true.
And 36 was his big year.
Yeah.
When he's really started to play extremely well, they get to the Super Bowl. In terms of this particular game and the games that have occurred over the course of the season, I saw a stat about the Dallas Cowboys. I think in the last 2 years, they are number one in the league in number of games decided by 7 points or less. All your games, with a rare exception, have been tight. We anticipate that's what's mm-hmm. going to be in the National Football League. So I don't get the sense that there's a doom. Jeremiah Ratliff today said there's no gloom and doom. It's football. You got a month to go, a lot of work to be done. But are there good wins and bad losses? I mean, how do you look at things with this?
You know, that's a tough one. This was certainly a tough loss because it was just a unique environment yesterday. A lot of different things happened. We have a lot of positives going into it. Number one is we got an extra day off because we played a lot of plays, particularly on defense. They played over 80 plays, so the extra day's rest will be helpful. Number two is we get to play on Monday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. That's a positive, and that's the only thing we can control right now are the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, the NFL really doesn't have any kind of order until December is over.
Tonight's Coach's Show. Monday's game brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of your Chicago Bears. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field receive a mini Mike Ditka Fathead. Miller Lite, it's just not just a good time, it's Miller time. And the next Bears All Access Radio Show brought to you by Sports Authority, Thursday at 6 on WSCR, 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. For Mark Trestman and Michael Sinclair, along with Andy Gersha and Lisa Fielding and Greg Miller, I'm Jeff Joniak. That's going to wrap us up. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM.